Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Scott Morrison has been doing the rounds, as you know, selling his fairness budget. Can it really be called a document that's based on the notion of fairness, though? That's the question. The cuts to foreign aid spending remain. Higher education loses money. University graduates have to pay back their HECs at a lower level of income. Companies, but not low-earning individuals, have a tax cut. There are tougher rules on getting disability welfare payments that may exclude previously eligible people from a disability support payment. And in a move that doesn't seem to be backed by a lot of evidence, actually, those on unemployment benefits may now be subjected to drug testing as part of a pilot scheme. Is that a vote-winning exercise or is it something else? It does have the ring of politically driven policy-making to it, the sort of thing that John Hewson was warning us about a few weeks ago on Open House. Father Frank Brennan is a Catholic priest, a well-known social justice advocate, a writer, author. I think he was called the meddlesome priest, or that meddlesome priest, by Paul Keating. At the Catholic Mission Conference that starts tomorrow, Frank Brennan will speak on the tension between the call for Christians to uphold social justice and do good works and our mission to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation work of Jesus. Well, Frank Brennan, welcome to Open House.
Pleasure. Good to be back with you, Stephen.
How did you see the budget? Was it a socially just budget?
I think it was better than we expected. I think one of the good things is that what were often called those zombie measures, which the Senate had rejected, that the government had formally abandoned those, and I think they were going to be very oppressive on a lot of the poorer Australians. So having said that, given that the government has decided to fully fund the NDIS, I think doing that through the Medicare levy was an appropriate thing. And given that they were not going to touch things like negative gearing, I think the fact that they're taking a number of initiatives in terms of housing are good, in that hopefully that will help to make housing more affordable and also to address some of the issues to do with homelessness. Where, of course, I, like others, was concerned was that though we're dealing with an economy at the moment where even on the government's best predictions, they're expecting GDP will increase up to 3%, but they're not expecting any increase in the labour participation rate. And in fact, they're expecting that unemployment will always remain above 5%. I think in those circumstances, Stephen, to be imposing even harsher tests on recipients of the new START allowance is somewhat gratuitous, and things like drug testing in three locations I think is more in the realm of symbolic dog whistling than anything else.
Well, let's go to that question then, and I note the surprise in your voice about some of the measures, but there is this thing about the testing. There's also foreign aid, which we could talk about, but on this occasion, let's talk about the drug testing. Is it fair enough? Scott Morrison puts the view that if you're drug addicted or alcohol addicted, then you can't hold down a job, and we need to therefore do something to force you to deal with that problem. Is that a fair proposition?
That's a fair proposition in itself, but I think each case has to be assessed on its merits. And Stephen, I think what we have to confront with this is that there are some people who are drug addicted where if you don't give them any welfare payment of any sort, it's not as if they're going to evaporate off the universe.
No.
It's not as if they're going to migrate to Nauru or Manus Island. God help us. They're still going to be with us. So they're going to end up homeless, and they're going to be ending up very dependent on illegal sources of income. So I think these are complex phenomena, and when we have drug testing proposed in a random way, but only at three locations, then I think that's an indication that this is more something symbolic than real.
Well, you use the word dog whistling, which refers to the fact that you do something that sends a signal, but it's not necessarily a particularly substantial measure. Annabelle Crabb put it on the weekend, after the budget, she put it that this budget punishes everybody who's been on the wrong end of a camera on a current affair, which seemed like a very funny way of looking at it. Does that worry you that you've got these two elements? Very good economic management on the one hand, but these symbolic issues that are a little bit punitive.
yes, although I think I've probably been around politics too long and I've got a bit cynical, so I think probably for the government, where they were going to be bashing up on the banks, they had to be seen to be bashing up on someone else at the other end of the scale as well. So I think there's something of that in it also.
Let's move out of the cynical realm and to something more prosaic. You're speaking at a Catholic Mission Conference that's coming up in a day or two, and you're speaking about this issue of mission and social justice. Now, over the years, the debate rages. Can you do both together? Can you be gospel-focused, word-focused, focusing on the salvation work of Jesus Christ, as well as doing a social ministry?
Yes, and I have the good fortune, as I say nowadays, Stephen, to be not only a Catholic but also a Jesuit in the Catholic Church, and I think we have the exemplar of those who can do both in our present Pope Francis. And for me, what is very consoling at the moment is that in him we have an exemplar of the one who says that if you want to proclaim your belief in the risen Lord, there is no better way to do it than your demonstrable service and commitment to those who are poor and marginalised in society. And for me, always, Stephen, there's no conflict between these two things, because for those of us as Christians who espouse the innate human dignity of every person, the key test always is how that dignity is accorded to the person who is poor or marginal to the mainstream society. So for me, it's one and the same thing and not a matter of conflict.
I think it was one and the same thing for Jesus. He told that marvellous story about I was hungry and you fed me.
Indeed. Matthew's Gospel. And all of us have to admit that at the end of the day, when we contemplate that story of the Last Judgment, that even those of us who might take some joy in the thought that we've been able to assist those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who are in prison, for everyone that we do help, we know in our globalized world there's another million or 100 million that we haven't helped and have never helped. So I think we're all ultimately dependent on God's mercy. And one of the things I'll be emphasizing at next week's conference is that I think one of the great things Pope Francis has done is help to reorient us from just a concern for prescriptions of justice or right moral behavior to embrace the fullness and the universality of God's love and mercy. And that universal mercy is really the great mission that we have to the world.
Indeed. Some research that you might not have caught up with yet, because it was just released literally a couple of days ago, a research done by McCrindle has shown that a large number of Australians are interested in things of faith. They're not, you know, horrendously opposed, as you might, if you read atheists, so they're very interested in things of faith. And the thing that they like about churches, when they think about churches, the question is, when you think about Christians and their churches, what things come to mind? And they say some of these positive attributes. So they're turned off by issues, and it won't surprise you, of moral judgment and matters raised at the Royal Commission and so on, all very understandable. But I wonder whether now this is the opportunity for the church to once again show its service face to the world.
Of course it is. And as I often say, Stephen, particularly for younger Australians, notions of tradition, authority and institutions, they're not the things that really enliven them. And that's the case with any institution, whether it's a political party, whether it's a scout club, whether it's a church or whatever. And so I think the great revolution that we're awaiting is to see how the spiritual commitment of the young, the yearning for the transcendent, and the very heightened sense of the wonder of creation and the sense of stewardship in creation, how that can manifest itself through social commitments, which can then rebound in terms of laws and policies.
Very nicely put indeed. Sorry I can't be at your conference next week, but thank you for joining us.
Pleasure, and good to be with you, and all the best to your listeners. Thanks, Stephen.